to a podcast presentation from Hillside Foursquare Church in Reno, Nevada.
Today we have guest speaker Ali Savajan speaking on Reflections on Hillside. Her text is Galatians 5.
Through a series of serendipitous events, Ali was hired by Foursquare headquarters to serve in the communications department. And so since then, her job's morphed a little bit, but they've been living in Los Angeles for the last couple of years. And one of the reasons we exist as a church is to help people find out why God made them and help them to begin to grasp that and cooperate with it and to follow his plan for their lives. And I really like it when that happens and people stay in town. But I recognize that we're not a cul-de-sac. We're more of a thoroughfare. And I feel very privileged to be able to have people who call Hillside their home for the time that they're able to do that. And I know that as people begin to continue to say yes to God, there's times where he will move them different places. And Anthony and Allie are one couple that has happened with. And Allie had been serving on the Hillside teaching team before she left. And so one of the perks of her job is that she gets sent to the same conventions I get sent to for our denomination. And so Joni and I were having, I don't know if it was lunch or breakfast or brunch, we were having food. And I found out they were going to be in town again for Thanksgiving. And so way back in May, we booked her to be speaking today. And one of the things that I asked her to consider talking about is, as a person who has been a part of Hillside, who I think really understands and knows the heartbeat of who we are, she's also got the perspective of being gone for 2 years and seeing, you know, other places in the world. You know, Reno and Los Angeles are not a whole lot alike. But there's some things I wanted her to reflect on the distinctives of what she sees as a part of our church family and how she's experienced that. And also, I'm hoping as she speaks, you're able to see maybe where God's working some of these things into your own life as well. And so, Hillside, will you welcome Ali Savajan?
Man, it's good to be home. Thank you. Whenever I'm here at Hillside, I really do feel at home. There's just something about being here. I can look out across the room and I see faces of people that I know who have taken the time to get to know me, people who have invited me into their homes, people I've invited into my home, me and Anthony, both of us, and we've become a family. And that's something that I really value. Even though now I live far away in Los Angeles, I always love that I can come here to Reno and always feel home. There's something real, there's something genuine, and there is something authentic happening within these church walls that each and every one of you is a part of, and you take it beyond these walls, and that's the best part. Today, I want to share a few things with you. Like Louis said, I want to be talking to you about who you are, who is Hillside, what makes us us? What are those distinctives? Of course, there are things that we as Christ followers kind of all have in common, but what specifically makes us us here at Hillside? To do that, I'm going to share some stories with you. I'm going to use some scripture. So if you want to jump ahead, you can get to Galatians 5 and get in on it early. And I also want to share some encouragement with you. And those of you who know me know I'm probably going to call you guys to action. Kind of how I roll. I wasn't always that way, though. When I first showed up at this church, I was 19 years old. I was a student, a sophomore at the University of Nevada, Reno, and I was determined to fly under the radar. I know this church values community, and as an introvert, that scared me. So when I first walked through those doors, I was like, eyes on the floor, do not make eye contact, do not make eye contact. Oh, I successfully made it to a chair in the back, and no one spoke to me. Success. The only problem with this plan, even though I could come in late and avoid speaking to people, and leave during the prayer to also avoid speaking to people, was the communion and connection times, which are a great thing. It just took me a while to realize it. So with communion, we always tend to take communion together as a group and then break into small groups and we pray. So I realized that if I could come up and I could take the communion and then I could just, you know, look very prayerful on my way back to the back in that area, which used to be introvert corner, It also turned into Nerd Colony for a while, which I was very proud of. I realized that then I didn't have to speak with people. And I thought this was a great thing. And then during connection time, I could, say hello to a few people. Hi, how's it going? Yeah, I go to Reno University, yeah, blah, blah, blah. English major. Okay, I'm going to get a pastry. And that was my exit line. I'm going to get a pastry. I'm going to get a pastry. I'm going to get a pastry. And I just kind of make my way back to that table. I'm going to go sit down. I'm going to go sit down. Okay, great to meet you. And I figured that while I was doing this, no one was really going to remember who I was, and I could avoid being known. My biggest fear. And then one day I was eating at Peg's, a local's favorite restaurant of mine. I had some breakfast with a friend. And Mr. Tim Meredith walked in. And he and his family came for breakfast, and we made eye contact, and I recognized him from church. Didn't think much of it. But he walked right up to my table, and he said, "Hi, Allie." And I was shocked that he remembered my name. Like, he didn't just recognize me from church, he remembered my name. And I realized there's something very powerful in being known. Fortunately, that was not the last time this happened at this church. I came in probably the next week, and I met another couple. We introduced ourselves, and they said, "Hey, we're Brennan and Jameson." I said, "Hello, I'm going to get a pastry." And then the next week, I came and I sat behind them, and they didn't let me take communion alone. They invited me to pray with them, and she said, "Hi, Allie." And I thought, somebody else remembered my name. And this must be the name tag. But they invited me into their home that night for dinner, and it began a deep, deep friendship that continued for many years. I'd go over to their home, and I'd have dinner every Sunday night. And we'd just get to know each other, and we'd just hang out. And that's the beauty about this church. You guys are the same people in this church that you are outside of this church. You invite people into your homes. You get to know one another. You live real community the way that Jesus intended and designed it to be. And so the more that I got involved in this church, the more people who asked to know me, the more I realized the importance of knowing people. And that I wouldn't thrive the way that God designed me if I stayed solo. I'm still introverted. I still like to take some time and get alone from the crowds, but I also realize that there's something very important to being known. And that's something that I want to share with you guys today. We need to be known, meaning we need to know ourselves, and we need to know that through God. When you ask the Holy Spirit to tell you who you are, He'll let you know. It says in Psalms that He knew us before we were even born. So if you want to know who you are, just ask Jesus. He'll let you know. But it's something really neat is that He doesn't just work just through you and God. He works through people too. So if you want to know who you are, you're going to have to reach out to people. You're going to have to get involved and form deep relationships. And then through loving others, through loving people, and people loving you and getting to know you, you get to know yourself, you get to know who God designed you to be, and you walk in a real community, and you change your city. So, how does Hillside do that in some practical ways? I wanted to talk to you about how I personally have observed how Hillside operates, some of the things that make you you, some of the ways that you reach out to people and make them feel known. So, I'm sure that every single one of us in this room has opinions and ideas about what Hillside is to them. It's pretty cool. But today I'm going to share some of what I see. So the first distinctive is that Hillside has an absence of religiosity, but a respect of the Lord. I love that. I love that. I love that I can walk into this church as a woman wearing jeans, and that's okay. I love that when I talk to you, I feel like you care about who I am. I love that we can talk about Jesus, and we can even go so far as to talk about how I thought about Jesus while watching The Dark Knight Rises. It can be the same person in church and out of church. There's that absence of religiosity, while at the same time having a high respect for the Lord and wanting to follow His will and discover what His path is. There's a beautiful blend here. It says in Galatians 5:4, When you attempt to live by your own religious plans and projects, you are cut off from Christ. You fall out of grace. Meanwhile, we expectantly wait for a satisfying relationship with the Spirit. When we're trying to do things in a religious tone that we're putting on people, that's not like part of his plan, it sometimes cuts us off of what he wanted us to get in the first place. We have to be willing to walk in grace. And that's a really cool thing. That brings me to the second thing that really defines what I see at Hillside, and that's a genuine community. I always think Acts 2, and I think Hillside. Acts 2, 42 to 47, it talks about how right after the Holy Spirit comes, right after the day of Pentecost, and people are empowered, they're hanging out together. It says, in the temple and at home. You guys, you hang out at church and at home. That's so cool. And if you don't, go invite yourself, you know, hi, I'm so-and-so. Want to come to my house? Hey, I'm so-and-so. You want to catch lunch? Hey, I'm so-and-so. I really don't like talking, but I love movies. You want to see a movie? Okay, let's talk about the movie after. You can be who you are, but you can be in community. People here, they know your name, and they want to know your story. And if you will allow yourself to open up and share your story with other people, they'll share their story with you. And there's something powerful about being known. Be living in that community together. Something else that I love about Hillside, number three, there's an expectation of growth. You can't just come here and stay the same. This awesome church won't let you stagnate. I have this this avocado tree. I started it with a friend from like a little baby seed. And I really didn't want it to stay a seed. I really wanted it to be an avocado tree, especially now that I live in California. I love avocados. So, you know, I put it in the water. I put the little toothpicks in. There's something you can find on Pinterest on how to do this. And you stick it in the water, and it grows roots. And after it grows roots, it starts to have a little stalk that comes out. And then that stalk becomes a bigger stalk and a bigger stalk. And then my avocado tree got its first leaves. Someday, I'm excited for when this thing bears fruit. I think there's something really neat to watching a plant grow. And that's something that can happen in your life, too. When you allow Jesus to get in there and start working stuff up and you allow people to come alongside of you, Hillside expects you to grow. If you walk in as a seed, you're not going to stay a seed. I didn't stay a seed, and I'm glad. I get to know so many amazing people in this room because individuals didn't let me stay a seed. They challenged me with good things. They encouraged me. It wasn't mean. No one came up to me and was like, you know what would be really great? If you would just talk to people. They slowly let me work into it. And at the same time encourage me, hey, here's someone that you might like to hang out with. I bet you two would get along. Oh, thanks. Hey, what do you know? We do get along. We're my best friends now. And so when you come in here, don't expect to stay a seed. And be looking for ways for how you can grow, how you can start sprouting, how you can get leaves and one day bear fruit. And that fruit will one day produce a seed that will allow another fruit to grow and another tree to grow and another tree to grow. And pretty soon you're a whole orchard. Whole community here. Another thing that I love, number four, is that at Hillside, you're allowed to show emotion, but you don't let it get in the driver's seat. I've heard Louis say this a lot, and it's something I've really held on to. Some churches that I've attended, you walk in, and you get your church face on. It's like poker face, but for church. How are you doing? I'm fine. How are you doing? Fine. Great. Lovely. No problems here. Praise the Lord. That's good. Praise the Lord. Totally do. But at the same time, be willing to be honest and authentic about what you're going through. If I'm having a bad day, maybe I need to be honest about, like, you know, it's been a bit rough. And that'll give someone the opportunity to encourage me, to pour some truth into me that I need to hear that day. But if I just had my church face on, I would have never been blessed with those words. Hillside lets you show emotion, but it doesn't let it get in the driver's seat. It's like in Psalms 4, David starts off the psalm, and he is angry. He is very upset, and he's going on and on and on, and blah, 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 blah. And then there's a turn. He's expressed emotion. He doesn't allow it to run his life. He pauses, and by the end of the psalm, he's praising the Lord. He's saying how great you are, how good you are. Thank you, Lord. And his anger turns into thanksgiving, turns into being grateful and actually being joyful. Like he had a 180 because he allowed himself to experience that emotion. He didn't let it get in the driver's seat. And instead, he was able to transition. That's something that Hillside really lets you do. And I love that. It doesn't make you go numb. It lets you thrive. Number five, Hillside is a place that believes God speaks to every single person, not just the pastor. That's awesome that your pastors, Louie and Joni, have created that environment here so that every single one of you not only has a story but has a voice. You can share what you're going through, and you can share it honestly, and you can deliver encouragement to people, and you can say, this is what I heard from the Lord. This is what I heard from the Lord. This is what God is speaking to me. I want to share it with you. What is God speaking to you? I want to listen. I was here in April, and I was so encouraged to see how earlier in the year, Hillside, you guys were having people share your stories up here on stage. Louie would talk, and then afterwards, someone would get up, and they'd grab the mic, and they'd share, this is what's going on in my life, or this is how I met Jesus, or this is something that I went through, and this is where I am now, thanks to God, or this is where I am now, and this is where I'm headed, thanks to God, thanks to people. Most churches don't do that. This is a unique gift that you have. It's a beautiful thing that you guys can get up here and you can speak about what God's doing in your life. Even better is that you don't need the stage to do it. As you're talking, whether it's during the connection time, whether it's totally outside of church, maybe you're even at the grocery store and you're with a stranger, you're just being nice to the checker, you can share Jesus through your actions. And if you need to, you can share Jesus through your words. That's a beautiful thing that God speaks through all of us. We've all got the same Holy Spirit. You guys have the same Holy Spirit in you that I have in me. And Hillside lets you live that out. That's amazing. Number six, here at Hillside, there's a desire to see the city changed, but not by events, by one person at a time, changing one person at a time. Hillside is very relational. Very relational. You don't have to go out there and host a big outreach event. Those are good. Those work. But it's not the DNA necessarily of this church. It's not the only way you reach people. This church also reaches people one-on-one. You encourage one another. You build one another up. And that's what Jesus did. Jesus changed the world by changing people. It makes me think about Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus was a tax collector. He was hanging out in a tree trying to watch Jesus as Jesus was walking by. Not creepy at all. And Jesus called him out and he said, hey, Zacchaeus, you're not doing some good things and I'm aware of it. But he didn't like say that out loud. He just kind of, hey, Zacchaeus, I'm coming to your house today. Okay. Jesus knows the importance of going over to somebody's house, hanging out with them, eating with them, and talking with them. That's what Jesus did with Zacchaeus. He went over to his house. He ate with him. He talked with him. We don't know the exact words that Jesus said, like a whole play-by-play, but we do know the outcome. And the outcome is that after that encounter, Zacchaeus was totally changed. He's like, okay, I've been cheating people out of money and taking tons for myself. This was not only wrong, and I'm not just going to pay those people back that I cheated. I'm going to pay them back tons and tons more. Do you think that Jesus went and spoke to every single one of those people that Zacchaeus returned the money to? Probably not. But do you think those people knew who Jesus was as a result of Zacchaeus giving back all that money? Oh, yeah. Jesus changes people, and then he works through us to change more people. And then those people that he works through us to change, those people go change more people. And that's how Reno is going to get changed. When you as Hillside decide, I'm going to let God work through me, I'm going to take the time, I'm going to spend time with God, and I'm going to spend time with people. And it's going to be good. His disciples followed his example, and we as his disciples can do the same thing. Number seven, here at Hillside, you value rest. Hillside is a place of healing. I found healing when I first came here. One of the first sermons that I ever heard preached was about if you're grieving the death of someone you love, just the same amount as when it happened years ago, today is the day to find hope. And that meant something huge to me. And I needed to hear that in that moment. And so from my very first time I walked through the doors, I knew Hillside is a place that I can find hope. Hillside is a place that I can find healing. Hillside is a place where I can get rest. I'm the kind of person who I like to pretend I'm a machine. And I can do it all. And I can just keep going and keep going and keep going and keep going and keep going. And Hillside reminded me that I am not a machine. I'm a person. People sometimes need rest. And it's okay to rest. It's okay to take a break. It's okay to just be a human being, not a human doing. It's okay. Another great thing, too, with that rest is that Hillside encourages you to be healthy about evaluating what God has called you to in this season. There's some awesome things that I've done in the past, but God is not calling me to do them today. Everything has a season. I think it's really neat that here in Reno you get seasons. I don't really see that in Los Angeles. So being up here and being reminded of seasons was awesome. I got to see that when I was here in May, spring was in full bloom. It was beautiful. And now the leaves are falling and the trees are taking a break. They're resting. Because they do this rest in the winter, and those trees just chill out. They're not providing shade for anyone. They're not working on producing leaves. They are hanging out and they are regenerating. So that when spring comes, we, like trees, we can get regenerated by Jesus. We can get regenerated by community if we remember to take a break. And that's so cool. I love that God puts tangible examples right in front of us so that when I came here to Reno and I was tired and I was worn out and I've been going, I could just see those trees as I was driving up through the Huffacre area and then up to Mount Rose and just be like, these trees are taking a break. I need to chill out. I got to evaluate where I am in this season and be willing to ask God, what is it that you're calling me to now? Hillside, you guys empowered me to do that. I learned that at this church. That's an awesome thing. In Matthew 11:28, it says, come all you weary. Jesus is calling us. Come all you weary. I will give you rest. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. Come all you weary. Here at Hillside, be people who can do that. Say, come all you weary. Come. When you come into these walls and you through, not into these walls, that'd be intense. You come through these doors and sit enclosed by these walls. You can be with people who you can feel rested around, and that's a great thing. So be focused on restoration. Be willing to put in the same time and energy to fight for that so that you can get recharged. And then when it's go time, you can go. You can make things happen. You can work and partner with Jesus and with people. And you can change people one-on-one through every little interaction. They all add up. They all count. They counted for me. Now I've told you guys 7 things that I've seen in Hillside. I've told you what I see in you. But I don't want to leave it there. I also want to encourage you to go out, to find people, and to do the same thing. To say, okay, me, friend, this is what I see in you. And tell your friends, this is what I see in you. If you meet a stranger and something strikes you about them that's really cool, just throw it out there. Man, this is what I see in you. This is what I see in you. This is something God has designed you with that's beautiful. This is something God made you to be, and I can see it in action. Wow, I can see that you're pushing through a lot right now. You're really enduring. I can see that God's made you beautiful, and he's given you a great spirit. I can see that you're a good speaker. I can see that you know how to take care of people. I can see that you serve, and you do a great job. Your food's awesome. Whatever it might be, if you see something that God's put in someone that they're really good at, tell them. From personal experience, I mean, people told me things they saw in me, and I needed to hear it over and over and over and over because I had so convinced myself of the opposite, because the enemy's good at lies. So when you hear that Holy Spirit in the back of your head tell you to say something to someone, you're like, I don't know about that. If it's the Holy Spirit, you go ahead and say it anyway, because that person might need to hear that right then. We need to be reminded over and over and over and over and over who God has designed us to be. Not just through one-on-one time with the Scripture, though I highly encourage that. Not just through prayer and communicating with God, but through communicating with one another and communicating with people. And if you guys can do that for each other here at Hillside, you can empower one another to then go beyond Hillside and to go out into the city, go out into Reno and say, this is what I see in you. This is what I see in you. Reno, this is who you are. These are the beautiful things. Don't just focus on the bad. These are the beautiful things. I want you to encourage people. I want you to build them up. I want you to be in real relationship and deep friendship. When I was praying and I was asking God for a passage, what passage could I share with Hillside? What makes Hillside Hillside? It's Galatians 5, 22 to 26. And I want to read that verse for you today. By the way, this is the Message version. Some of you might have different versions, but this one really resonates with me. And this is the one that I was like, man, this is so Hillside. This is who you are. Verse 22. But what happens when we live God's way? He brings gifts into our lives, much the same way that fruit appears in an orchard. Things like affection for others, exuberance about life, serenity. We develop a willingness to stick with things, a sense of compassion in the heart, and a conviction that basic holiness permeates things and people. We find ourselves involved in loyal commitments, not needing to force our own way in life, but able to marshal and direct our energies wisely. Legalism is helpless in bringing this about. It only gets in the way. Among those who belong to Christ, everything connected with getting our own way and mindlessly responding to what everyone else calls necessities is killed off for good, crucified. Since this is the kind of life we have chosen, the life of the Spirit, let us make sure that we do not just hold it as an idea in our heads or as a sentiment in our hearts, but work out its implications in every details of our lives. That means we will not compare ourselves with others. We will not compare ourselves with each other as if one of us were better and another were worse. We have far more interesting things to do with our lives. Each of us is an original. This really makes me think Hillside. If you guys live out this passage, we'll be doing a lot of what God has called you to do and called you to be. My favorite movie is The Lord of the Rings. A little transition here. And there's this part in The Fellowship of the Ring, and Galadriel, this very elegant elf, don't think Christmas. she gets up before the main character, and he's got a really tough job to do. And she stands up to this hobbit, and she looks at Frodo, and she says, "This task was appointed to you. If you do not find a way, no one will." And that kind of came into my mind as like, if we don't find a way, who is going to change Reno? Who's going to change the people that are in our day-to-day lives? Sure, God can work through anyone. I'm sure that if I failed, God would most definitely find a plan B. But people are his plan A. Like, you guys, it's amazing to be here. I know what kind of a family you can be. I know the authenticity that exists here. I know the sense of compassion, and I would love to continue to see you live that out. So I want to ask you guys to find a way. Find a way to, number one, encourage people, and find a way, number two, to continue to be an authentic community that pursues Jesus and reflects him. As you do this, ask God for help and work together. God will never forsake you. He never has. He never will. Thanks for being my family. Let's go ahead and pray. Dear Jesus, thank you so much for who you are. Thank you for blessing Reno with the Hillside family. Thank you for bringing me into this community, and thank you for bringing every single person who came through the doors today here. Jesus, we just want to respond to you right now. We want to just say we want to be this community. We want to encourage people. We want to build them up. We want to be in deep friendships. Jesus, will you help us do that? God, thank you for who you are. In your name we pray. Amen.
You've been listening to a podcast presentation of Hillside Foursquare Church in Leonardville.